Om Shanti, good evening and welcome to all of you here. We have also those watching online, right? So welcome those online. Before I introduce Silu Didi, just introduce myself. My name is Paulina, originally from Greece. And now I'm based in London, and also I'm part of the youth group. So for today's topic, we have Silu Didi with us. She's a very special senior who came very early to Gyan, and she spent time with Sakar Baba and Mama, right? And many double foreigners are very much connected with her, because she became the instrument to translate for Baba, Avyak Bab Dada. So we are very familiar with her voice. So, as Didi, you have a treasure of memories from the early days with Sakar Baba. So would you like to share with us a moment with Sakar Baba?
I think if you catch it in your hand, because you move so.
Okay.
No, you catch the mic in your hand so that the mic goes with you.
Is it better now? So if you can share a moment with Sakar Baba when you first came. When you first met Brahma Baba, what was your feeling?
Om Shanti. I consider myself to be very, very fortunate, because I met Brahma Baba, I met Mama, I met all the dadis and have taken very, very good sustenance from them. And about Brahma Baba, I can say that actually it is Brahma Baba who gave me this spiritual birth. If I consider myself to be a spiritually born child, I can say I took that birth in Brahma Baba's lap. Because Brahma Baba had invited some mothers for Brahma Bhojan, and my mother took me to Baba. At that time I was only 11 years old. And Brahma Bhojan was very special with Brahma Baba. We used to sit on the floor, on the ground, not on table chairs, no. And everyone would sit in a rectangular form, and each one would come in front of Baba, take drishti from Baba, and, you know, put a head in Baba's lap. Baba would sit on the floor and put head in Baba's lap, and then would raise the head, and then actually when they would put the head in Baba's lap, Baba would pat on the back and would give some blessing to that child. And then after the head was taken up, then Baba would put a morsel of food in his or her mouth at the beginning. So in the meantime, food would be served about 50, you know, at a time, not more than that, in a hall. So everyone was taking their turn, and then it was my mother's turn. I was sitting next to Baba, next to my mother, And my mother came in front of Baba, and I was noticing, you know, everything. And then as she took the morsel from Brahma Baba, then it was like my turn, because I was sitting next to her. So, but I was hesitating. I thought, I don't know whether Baba will want little children to come. I was only 11 years old at that time. And Baba called me, "Come child, come. Come child." And when Baba said, "Come child," I felt like a magnetic pull at that time. You know, like a magnet attracting the needle. So I felt that magnetic pull and I ran. You know, it must be this much distance, little more than this. So I ran from my seat and I came running to Baba and just hugged Baba so strongly. And then put my head in Baba's head, you know, in his lap. And Baba patted on my back and gave me the blessing that the child has come back to the father. These are the words Baba spoke to me. The child has come back to the father and gave me a morsel of food and drishti, powerful drishti. And I went back. But I feel that was my spiritual birth in Baba's lap. Because before that, I had not met Baba and I had not even gone to any center. My mother used to go to a Gita Pathshala and there I had been once with my mother and I just sat in the class and heard the Murli. But I felt I could understand everything. But so that was the beginning. And when I was born, I was just 3 days old. And my father met with an accident and he died on the spot. Actually, I never saw my father. My father never saw me because he was coming from Delhi by road. And on the way, the accident took place and he died on the spot. So I did not see my father. So I can say that I have Brahma Baba was my real father. And on the day my father left the body, I was just 3 days old. And on that day, my mother got like a semi-trance experience. In that, she saw angelic Brahma Baba, you know, of light. Angelic Brahma Baba, and how dressed in white, an angel. And he came in front of my mother and he told her, "This child is mine. I am her father. And give her to me," like he made this interaction. And my mother, she looked at him and gave me to Baba in his arms. And of course the scene disappeared and I was very much there. But my mother felt that she is not an ordinary girl, not an ordinary child. Is something very special about her. And that day my father died also. So that was a beginning. But my true birth was when I took spiritual birth in Baba's lap. So I can say that in Brahma Baba I saw all the three fathers. Parlokik father, alokik father and lokik father, all I in Brahma Baba.
Wow. Such a nice experience. Can you just visualize for 30 seconds what Shilu Didi said about Baba feeding the children and taking children into his lap? Can you visualize that for 30 seconds? How Baba can be in front of me and feeding me and taking me into my lap. Because I feel while Shilu Didi is sharing, it's like she's taking us to those days and we'll feel Baba very close to us.
And I can say that after that there was no looking back. I continued studying, but then also going to the center. So that was the beginning. Even though I was very young, 12 years old only, but I used to go to the center and then go to school. I used to be in my school uniform, so go to the center from home in my school uniform, attend Murli and then go to school. So all the dadis know me in that way, that, oh, Shilu, we remember you used to come in your school uniform. So they remember it like that.
Okay. Thank you. The topic is unity in diversity. So would you like to share a story where you saw Sakar Baba inspiring children to be in unity?
Inspired?
Inspiring children to be in unity, to be united.
To be united. So, actually, in the yajna, there were so many sisters. And of course, each one has their own sanskars. But then how Baba used to teach them that, as Baba says in the Murlis, that Baba is one, Murli is one, study is one, aim is one, and therefore all of you are alike. Because it's not you have different aim, it's not you're going to become something else, you're going to become something else. But each one's aim is to become a deity. And each one has come from the same home. Each one is studying the same knowledge. And each one says, my Baba. So for everyone, it is all the same. So as it is all the same, you're all one. Never, never think that you are different, you are different. No, no one is different. All of you are one family. So this is how Baba united us, because everyone had come from different homes, no? They were not related, physically. They were not like Laukik brothers and sisters or Laukik family, but all had come from their own Laukik families. But now it became one Alaukik family. So how Baba used to teach them that never think that you are different. You're all alike. And now you're creating deity sanskars in you, those sanskars which you had at the beginning, and now you have to recreate them, you have to experience them, because you are becoming deities. So how they lived so unitedly. One said and the other agreed. You know, that's what we say. In Hindi we say, ek ne kaha, dusre ne mana, dono gyani. If one said something and the other agreed, accepted and did it according to what the first one said, then both are knowledgeable souls. Because they respected each other, they paid attention to what the other one said, they had respect and they agreed. So one said and the other did. So both are knowledgeable. It's not that the one who says is like a boss, no. And the other one who did is like a servant, no. Both are equal and both accept what the other one has said. So it's okay. That's why in this way we can become united. We can become one. And then sometimes Baba used to say that even if you have to bow down, you have to be humble, doesn't matter. But don't ever stop giving respect to the other one. Be a good listener, what the other one is saying. And if you think it's not right, then you can explain why you think it's not right. But don't be harsh on the other one. Don't quarrel with the other one. Because if you quarrel, then it will never be united. So if we want to be united, we have to see the other one's virtues. Otherwise, we see the defects, we see the drawbacks, and then we start separating from one another. And that's why to come together, to stay united, even if they are from different homes, different backgrounds maybe, but then they're all one. So that's how Baba used to train them to stay united.
Thank you. So I would like to ask you, in many Avyakt Mulis, when Avyakt Baba used to come, she used to call Dadi Janki, Dadi Prakashmani, Didi Manmohini, Dadi Gulzar, that they are divine unity. They are in divine unity. And we know you have seen all these Dadis and Didis, how they worked together, how they were in unity, how they danced together and harmonized their own sanskars. So
actually in the Yajna there were many, many sisters. And so Baba created groups. And one group was called Divine Unity. And the other group was called Manohar Party. It was Manohar Indra Dadi. She was a very humorous person. You know, whenever she used to talk, everyone used to really laugh, you know, because she was very humorous. She used to speak in such a way. And so there were different groups. And this Divine Unity group was of the seniors. So Dadi Prakashmani was in it, Dadi Janki was in it, Didi Manmohini was in it, and so many other Dadis who were quite matured and also great yogi souls. So the other group was of those who were little bit, you know, not very matured, but like the humorous type. So that was another group. And then there was a third group who were not much interested in the knowledge, but they liked to play, they liked to dance, they liked to sing, you know, that type of group. So this way Baba created these three, four groups. And that's why divine unity means the others once saw these Dadis, how united they were. How they had so much respect for one another, so much love for one another. So seeing these three sisters, how the other ones also followed. So that's why different groups were made according to their sanskars.
Do you have a story when you saw practically the Dadis?
I was not in the Yajna, no, at that time, for the 14 years in the Yajna. It was at that time. I came to Baba in 1960, when the Yajna moved to India. So after the partition, which took place in 47, the Yajna was still there. In 1950, they came to Mount Abu. But I took knowledge in my first day was in the Gita Pathshala in 1958. I was just 8 years old. But then I met Baba when I was... over 10, 11 years old. So that was after a few years. So I came only afterwards.
But later on, when you were with
Dadis. Later on, in 1959 maybe that was.
Do you have a story?
Do I have?
A story to share with us about how they remained united with Baba.
Well, I used to see them because Baba sent them afterwards when they came to India in 1950. Then Baba sent the sisters to different centers because centers opened and the Dadis went to different centers. So Baba did not want any sisters to be staying in Pandav Bhavan. So Baba sent the Dadis to our different zones and different centers. And Dadi Janki shares a lot about that. That these Dadis didn't want to leave Baba. Because when Baba said, you have to go there, you have to go there, they didn't want to. And Dadi Janki shared her experience that she was so much attached to Baba that she didn't want to go to any center. And every day Baba was sending someone or the other to one of the centers because new centers were being opened. And Dadi Janki shared her experience once that it was Dadi Janki's turn to go and serve in another city in India. And she didn't want to go, but she dared not tell Baba, "Baba, I don't want to go." So what she did every morning in the Murli class, she used to always sit in the front and Baba and listen to Baba's Murli. But that day she didn't sit in the front. She went right at the back in the corner and she sat. And because she knew that if Baba sees her, he will say, "Now you have to go there, you have to go there." And she didn't want to go. So then Baba asked, "Where is Janak?" Because Baba used to call her Janak. And Baba didn't see Janak, and she was sitting right in the corner at the end of the hall. And Baba called her and said, "Are you a goat? Are you a goat? A bakri ho kya? Why are you afraid? You know, goats, when they move, they are so afraid of everything. Even if they make a sound is made, they are afraid. And for everything, they are afraid. So are you afraid like a goat? Why are you sitting there? You are afraid because you know that you have to go. So you should become a lioness. You are not a goat, you are a lioness. And as a lioness, you should be brave, you should be bold, you should be very courageous. You cannot, how can you remain a goat and then go to a center and serve? Because you have to serve, you have to become strong." And you know, Baba told her this and then she agreed, "Okay Baba, I will go." So Dadi Janki shares her experience and also the experience of the other Dadis. The first time they went, Baba told Gulzar Dadi to go to Lucknow. So every Dadi was told to go somewhere. And they went, but then the beginning they didn't know anything. 14 years they remained in isolation. And after that, when they came to Bharat, they didn't know anything. They didn't even know what money was, how to spend money. And so they were so innocent like. But then how Baba made them so strong, Baba made them bold, and how they opened centers, and that's how the yajna continued. Okay?
Yes. Thank you. So, my next question is, how can we now, at the present time, move the yajna forward with love and unity? Individually and collectively. Individually,
each one of us,
and collectively. If you can give us some tips.
Sure. So,
and I'm saying this just to clarify, because sometimes some of us maybe don't stay in the center or they live far, so they don't feel much connected with the yajna or with dadis and didis. And maybe there are some doubts and they don't feel united, they don't feel included. So can you give us something?
Well, now the yajna has grown so big, it's not possible that only you have to ask questions of one person, one senior. Because in every center there is one senior sister. In every area there is one senior. So there are always seniors everywhere. Like if you are in London, then there's Jayanti Didi there. If you are in India also, so many different zones. And they all have their administrative heads. They have their, joint chief there. And so it's a very well organized. So it's not that everything has to be asked from Madhuvan. Just like, in the government also there are so many states and each state has its own chief minister. There are so many ministers, but the central government is different. So the central government gets the problem only when it's not being able to be solved by the states. So Madhuvan is different, when everything is very well planned, very well administered, so there's no problem at all. Understand? That's how this yajna is run. And of course, Madhuvan is physically quite far away from them. But then Baba also says, if the touching is proper, they get Baba's inspirations. If they sit in Baba's in yoga and talk to Baba, then Baba is there to listen to them and inspire them in the right way. So,
So the Murli, maybe.
Of course, Murli, of course, is very important because any doubts, any questions, any problems, all, you know, the Murli solves everything. And very often you must have experienced that if you have any question, the answer comes in the Murli. And everything, how Baba takes care of, so everything is running very, very smoothly. Of course, there may be problems of students, problems of the government, problems of different types, but then Baba really makes the mountain into a molehill and, you know, and finishes everything. Baba takes care how Baba is running this organization. It's not the work of any human beings. We are only instruments, so nobody can have that ego that I am doing. Even Dadi Prakashmani did not have this ego at all. Although she was the administrative head, Dadi Janki became the administrative head, Dadi Gulzar became, but then there was no ego in them at all. I am the head. No. Dadi Janki used to say to be called the head means to be to headache, to have a headache. You know, head means headache. So nobody is a head here. The Sadguru is only one, Shiv Baba, and we are all brothers and sisters. Of course, each one is given a different task to perform. That's okay. But then we have to be very, very, very humble. Because the higher our status, the more humble we should become. And if we are humble, then we get respect from everyone, love from everyone. Otherwise, nobody will even come close to us. You know, if someone is very strict, so people are afraid to even go in front of that person or near them also, even ask any questions. Because maybe the answer will be quite, it may not give like comfort to that person who has asked a question. Because the person is very strict, but if he is loving, if he is humble, if he is peaceful and, you know, meeting each other in a very, very friendly way, then of course things go very, very smoothly and there are no problems. So that's what the Dadis were. Dadis gave so much love to everyone. That's why even though the Dadis are not here physically, but then we miss the Dadis, not in a way that, oh, why they left us. No, we know that everyone has to go one day, as certain as death. Everyone has to leave the body one day, and one day even we will go. But Baba's Yajna will run. At the beginning, you know, when the Yajna was there in Karachi for 14 years, Baba used to say in the Murlis that we'll all be together. We'll all be together and we'll all go back home together to the soul world. We'll all go together. So they took it literally. In what way they took literally that we will all go together means nobody will die. We will all be alive and we will go together. But then in 1965, Mama left her body. And when Mama left the body, the trans messenger brought the message that now Mama will be the leader in the advance party. So now advance party will start with Mama, and those souls who will leave the body, they will be part of the advance party, and they will play an important role in the establishment of golden age. So that was a new understanding in the Yajna, because before that they thought nobody will leave the body, nobody will die. But then afterwards, how this knowledge was understood that now as the golden age is being established, we need an advanced party who will be in advance there to give birth to golden age souls, the real yogi souls. And so that's how this knowledge spread and the Yajna spread, and the Dadis knew about their means what their role is going to be. So in this way we understand how the Yajna is running. Okay.
Another question. For us to practice now, what's the power that through which there can be unity in the gathering. With power we
what
can practice.
What power we need for unity in the gathering. Very important. Baba uses many rhyming words also for that. Baba says, you have to be a child as well as a master. But when you have to be a child and when you have to be a master, that is important to know. Because when you're in a gathering, sometimes we have to become a child and sometimes we have to become a master. When you're in a meeting, for example, and you are asked to give your suggestion, then at that time you can, as a master, give your suggestion. And each one is allowed to give his own suggestions. But then whatever is decided, then that should be accepted. As a child, it should be accepted. It's not, no, I gave my suggestion and my suggestion should be accepted. That one suggestion, no, because I'm senior. You know, like that. We have so many different forms of ego in us. So as a master, give your suggestions. But as a child, accept the suggestion. So be a master and be a child. Then Baba used to say, when you have to be loving and when you have to be detached. So when you have to be detached, don't be loving. Just be detached. But when you have to be detached, don't be loving. And when you have to be loving, don't be detached. So that also is a balance we have to keep. Sometimes Baba says, you have to be humorous also, but then also you should be matured and not laughing loudly. Mama actually hardly laughed loudly. She never laughed. She used to smile all the time. You know, some people laugh so loudly, but Mama was very royal, and so many took this inspiration from Mama not to laugh loudly. Baba used to say, if you laugh loudly, then you are like Ravan. They show Ravan that how he loudly used to laugh. And you know, only devils will laugh like that. How do deities behave? They smile. All the time they are smiling. And with a loving drishti, loveful drishti. So in this way there is mutual understanding between each other. Other one says, I accept and I don't become small if I accept. And that's why we respect each other. So with respect, then everything, everyone can stay united. But if I say I, mine, then there cannot be unity. That's why Baba said in yesterday's Murli, this I and mine. Actually, this I and mine can be taken in both ways. If one says I with ego, and mind with attachment, then that becomes a vice. Because ego and attachment are vices, and that can turn into a sinful action. But I and mine, if transformed like I the soul, my Baba, then any action performed with that feeling that I'm a soul and mine is just one Baba, then the actions will be righteous actions. So always have this consciousness that I'm a soul and mine is one Baba. And each one says my Baba. So when each one says my Baba, we are all united. Because we belong to one. And it's like a magnet, you know. There are many, many needles. And many needles. But then if you want to bring all the needles together, what is the best method? The best method is to have a magnet above. And each, and the magnet will attract the needles one by one, one by one. You know, all the needles will come to the magnet. And not only come to the magnet, but each needle will also become a temporary magnet and will attract the other needle. And that needle will attract the third needle and the fourth needle and so on. And it will become like a line of needles. But then it's all based on the magnet. If the magnet is taken out, all the needles will fall. So that's why Baba is the magnet and we are all attached to Baba. It is, we are all attached to Shiv Baba. We are not attached to Brahma Baba, because Brahma Baba sometimes says that don't remember me, remember only Shiv Baba. But then he also says that how will Shiv Baba speak to you? He speaks through Brahma Baba. So the Murli is the versions of God spoken through Brahma Baba. Therefore, we give importance to the Murli. So we also give importance to Brahma Baba because he became the medium. But we don't have to remember him. Baba said the other day, Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba's souls, how they sit in the forehead of Brahma Baba's body. But then now we see the picture of Brahma Baba, and at that time we look at Brahma Baba, see in the forehead Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba's soul, but we are remembering Shiv Baba. So of course we take inspiration from Brahma Baba, because many people question, why do you have Brahma Baba's picture? If you say we are remembering Shiv Baba, then why do you keep Brahma Baba's picture? If you say he is not God, because that's what we say, Brahma Baba is not God. Brahma Baba is not our guru. He is not even a deity, but he is our father. So he is our Alaukik father. We have taken a spiritual birth from through this Alaukik father. We say we are Brahma Kumars and Brahma Kumaris. So Brahma's children. So how can we neglect Brahma? How can we ignore Brahma? Because Brahma is our father. So it's not that we remember him with an attachment, but then we know that he was a medium. So it's through the medium that we could meet Shiv Baba. So we remember Shiv Baba, but don't forget the medium. So that's how it is. And that's why we all remain united. Murlis also teach us how to remain united. So we can all be one and not see anyone's defects, because that is also very important. To not see each other's defects. Everyone has defects. It's not that we are all perfect, because of course at the end we will all become perfect. But now each one has some or the other defect. But Baba says, don't see the defects. See only the virtues. And when we see the virtues, then we can pick up those virtues. You know, that's what we say, you can't teach values. Values are not taught. Supposing I say speak about the value of peace. If I'm just teaching about peace, its impact will not be that much. But I have to remain peaceful, show my peaceful state of awareness, and then through that, through my practical life, I teach peace. So that's why there's a saying that values cannot be taught, but they are caught. Values are caught, means we take inspiration from the other one. Oh, this sister is so peaceful. She's so loving. When she speaks, it's like jewels coming from her lips. So these are virtues, and how we can pick those virtues from those who have them. And that's why Baba said, you can't teach them, but through your practical life, you can share virtues. And when we are sharing virtues with to each other, then of course we are also attracting others towards us. But that attraction should not be physical. Sometimes it becomes physical attraction. Oh, this one is so beautiful. This one speaks so sweetly. You know, this one has so many talents. And because of that, I get attracted. So it's not because, it should not that be that type of attraction. Because all the talents what I have or whatever I do, it's Baba who has given me that thing. It's not my own. So when I say Baba has given to me, then I have no ego. But if I say they belong to me, they are mine, then the ego will come. And then the physical attraction will come, or the physical repulsion will come. Because when we want praise and we don't get praise, then there is maybe repulsion. So there should be neither repulsion nor attraction. But there should be just spiritual love for everyone. It's not that I have spiritual love for everyone, but not for that one. Even that's not right. It's like if you want to water the leaves, if you water each leaf, it's not going to be really very useful. You just water the seed. And when you water the seed, you are watering the whole tree. You know, so it's if you want to love everyone, then first love the seed. And everyone will receive their love. It's not that I love this one, but not that one, and this one only. So that's not true love. True love is when you have love for everyone. You don't differentiate, you don't separate. You know, somebody interestingly said, I love everyone except my neighbor. So they don't love the neighbor because the neighbor is not helping them, whatever. So, but I should love everyone. Even if he's not helping me, doesn't matter, okay. But he has these good qualities in him or her. And that's why Baba says, I have love for everyone. Just as Baba has love for everyone, and we also must have love for everyone. So if I have this consciousness, then we can remain united.
Talking about virtues, Baba many times says, if there is purity, there is unity. If we are lacking in purity, then we are lacking in unity as well. So would you like to say something?
Surely,
about it?
Because purity will lead to royalty, purity will lead to unity, purity will lead to so many virtues. Because what is purity? Purity of thoughts, purity of words, purity of actions. So when there is purity of thoughts, words and actions, then automatically I will be able to get respect from everyone. But if there is no purity of thoughts, words and actions, I will never get respect from everyone, not even love from anyone. And therefore purity will lead to unity too. Because if there's purity of thoughts, words and actions, then everyone will give me respect, and I will also give respect to everyone, and then we can come together. Because respect is very important. If I give respect, I will get respect. And here is where karma philosophy works. Whatever I give, I get that back. If I give love, I get back love. If I give happiness, I get back happiness. So if I have that in my mind, actually with that purity, all the virtues will come. And I can share that with others and then experience them myself. And therefore we can stay in unity. So even if there's diversity, never mind, each one's sanskars are different. Each one has come from a different background. You know, the Yadadis also came from a different background. But then how they saw each other as souls, as children of one father, and that's how they could stay united. So this comes through purity of thoughts, words and actions. And when we have that, it's not at all difficult to stay united. Okay?
Nice. One more question.
Ask questions from them if they have any questions to ask.
Is there any questions?
Okay, anyone wants to ask any question? You want to ask? Anyone wants to ask?
Yes, come.
Okay. Yes, come.
I think you need the mic.
Come in the front. You want to ask any question? Who wants to ask any question? Hey, it's all right, you can ask from here. Speak loudly. Oh my. You give him the mic.
Om Shanti, sister. I have one question. We always say we have to love Baba.
And Speak loudly.
Yeah, we say we have to love Baba. But the thing is, we don't
come,
have...
Come here.
I don't know. Are you able to hear me clearly now? Yeah. So we say we have to love Baba. But the thing is, sometimes it does it make sense to me? Because we don't have control over love, right? We suddenly realize we are in love. I don't know, I'm talking about love in the material world. And we don't know when we are in love. Suddenly we realize it. So how can I say, I love Baba? It's just superficial, I believe. How can we love him? How can you have control over love, which is something we can't control?
No. To have love means you have to see that one as a soul. Baba always says, see that one as a soul. And soul means the one who has peace, who has love, who has happiness. So all the virtues are in the soul. And when I see those virtues, automatically there is love. Love will come with virtues. If I'm having hatred for people, if I'm shouting at someone, I'm getting angry with someone, who will love me? Nobody will love me. And therefore, love will come through these virtues, no? And even if the other one is bad, but then I think that this is his role, this is his part. He is behaving maybe some karmic account, but doesn't mean that I have to hate him. Because if I hate him, I will create my own karmic accounts. So I have to be very careful to not create any bad karmic accounts with anyone, however bad someone may be. I have to still love him, because if I don't, if I hate him, I'm creating a karmic account. So that's also very important. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else wants to ask any question? No? No, everyone is okay, fine. You want to ask anything?
Yes, can I ask the last question? Because the year ends now, 2024, so we are going towards 2025. So my question is, how can we fall in love with our inner self?
Without?
With our inner self.
Oh, how can we love our inner self? Oh, yes. That's very interesting.
Because when we are united inside, then we love being in solitude. And when we love being in solitude, then we love be connected to one.
Sure. Of course, solitude is very important, because with solitude we can have such peaceful thoughts in our mind. When we have solitude, then the mind is without any confusion. But if I'm not in solitude, the mind is always in confusion. So Baba talks about silence too. So I have to go into silence. I have to ask myself. I have to question myself. I have to find out what my weaknesses are. I have to make sure that I'm able to overcome those weaknesses. So when I'm in solitude, I can really check myself. Just loving yourself can be also in a body conscious way. Oh, I love myself, I'm so pretty, I'm so handsome, you know. Some may think in that way also, I love myself, whole day looking in the mirror and seeing my hair, our dress are good or not, or my clothes are good. My personality is very good, I'm very strong. So that's not what seeing yourself. But seeing yourself means seeing your soul, seeing yourself in a spiritual way, seeing your values, seeing your qualities. Of course, we can check ourselves. And if I don't have love in me, I can check myself and say, oh, actually in my original nature, I'm such a loveful soul. In my original nature, I'm such a peaceful soul. So I remember my original nature. That is called loving the self. That is called recognizing your inner self. So recognizing the inner self means realizing your true self in your true form. What I was in my original stage, what I was in my stage when I came first into this world as a deity, what my stage was, I see that stage. But sometimes we just see the physical stage. And the result is maybe we love ourselves in a physical way, and that becomes a vice. That can become ego. So we have to be very, very careful to not allow ego to come. You know, there's a little bit of difference between ego and self-esteem, self-respect. Self-respect means respecting your values, respecting your virtues. And ego means being proud of your talents. So talents are not innate qualities. But I have love for my innate qualities, what Baba says. And the result of that will be, I will have self-respect. Otherwise, I will have ego. So I have to be very careful whether I'm having ego or whether I'm having self-respect. So self-respect means I should value my values. I value my peace. Nobody can make me peaceless. I value my peace. Nobody can harm me because I'm an eternal soul. I never die. So this is a very great value. It shows us how courageous we are, how bold we are, how fearless we are. So that's what we have to become. So when we think in this way, then we can respect ourselves. But if we think in the other way of our talents, of our physical beauty and physical, intelligence, then of course one day can be a downfall for us. Because we think we are very high, but one day when we fall, we are nowhere. And therefore we don't have to go that high that we become egoistic, arrogant. So ego and arrogance, they are the climax of vices. Because they bring all other vices in us and we bring our own downfall. So we have to be very, very careful to have self-respect for our virtues but not ego of our talents. Okay?
Yes, I'm sure it was very helpful for all of us, right? So many, many, many thanks.
Okay, Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti.